This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX, a few minutes past 2 p.m. Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez is here along with Mark Harder from St. Louis County. Last time Daniela was on with us, I forget how Mark's name came up, but it's such a cool thing. I just love, like, you were intrigued by Mark and his thoughts and his views and his stances, and we kind of set you guys up together. So take it from there. What have you guys been talking about?
Well, thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Councilman Harder and I just had a chance to speak for the first time yesterday.
Right.
Thanks to your invitation.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I grew up in the district he represents, and my folks still live there, so I guess I shouldn't tell too many people on the radio that city person who grew up in the county. We talked about our bills and just kind of I think why we were both interested in the same idea, even though we're... different ends of the spectrum. But I mean, we both believe in good government.
Right. And I think that's the thing that brings us together in a bipartisan way, is that we believe in good government. And we see these two ideas. Mine is about a county manager, and Danielle's about a city manager. So when we compared our bills, I brought my bill with them in case you need some light reading.
Yes, that brings back memories.
and hers as well. And they have a lot of similarities and very few differences, and the concept is there. And that's what we're trying to educate both the city residents and the county residents is about the concept. We can worry about the details a little later, but we got to get the concept sold that people see the value of having a city manager or a county manager or both.
And this is not an original thought, correct?
No. There's so many counties. I got a list here, all the counties and cities, both locally and nationwide. That have city or county managers. Some of our biggest counties in this country have county managers. And so it's nothing new. We have, 90 municipalities in St. Louis County alone, and probably 60 of them, maybe 70 of them, have some form of manager running those cities. So it's the concept is not new. It's new to our two jurisdictions and how we would implement it. And that's why I think people have the questions.
I can understand why the person in charge, a mayor or a county executive, might be threatened by it. What other objections are there from other people? What do other people not like about it who aren't directly threatened by it politically?
I think some people think that if that city manager is running a city or a county, that and we'll just, for sake of argument, say manager. I think people think that maybe their elected official is more responsive if they were to call and say and call that manager and say, why wasn't my trash picked up? Or they could call their alder person or their mayor or their county executive and say, I demand my trash to be picked up because I elected you, that kind of thing. So I think that's it's an issue of maybe some people think that, you know, they'll get more with an elected person than a bureaucrat.
Yeah. How about, go ahead, Daniela, in the city?
I mean, I think about the same. I mean, I think that there is and I think part of it is an education piece, right? I mean, I don't want to speak for the councilman here, but I think we talked about it last time. I mean, generally the qualities that you have when you elect somebody are different qualities than you want in an operations person, right?
Yeah.
So you want somebody who's very detail-oriented, you know, I mean, all the things that not just a good bureaucrat, but somebody not only gets things done, but makes sure is, you know, keen, you know, honed in on the details. And, you know, electeds tend to be big picture people, policy people. I mean, I haven't kissed any babies, or I don't know if you have, but but they're very different people, right? And so you have this... It shouldn't necessarily be the same thing. So I think getting people to understand that that you can have a responsive government and that person doesn't, and the person actually doing the work doesn't have to be elected is something. I would say the other answer to that is that oftentimes, for example, I will use the city. We have real no direct say in how our departments are run. So with a city manager. Because that person would be responsible to both the mayor and our council, our board of aldermen. And we would have, you know, hiring, firing ability. They'd be approved and, you know, we could fire them. I'm not saying that's, you know, you don't get this done, you fire them. But there is more accountability there than we have now. So in some ways... there is a lot, or there's responsiveness that doesn't have to wait between elections because those things can happen between elections. And I think that's important to note.
How would, under both of your plans, how would this city or county manager work with the elected mayor or county executive?
Well, from the standpoint of the county, this person, the way we envision this, would be someone between the county executive and the council. And both would have a say over who that person is. And I've told my colleagues, you know, I hope because of the condition of our county that I would hope that we would recruit from somewhere outside of St. Louis. Unfortunately, we have whatever term you want to use, we have a group of folks that tend to work in the city for the city government and work for the county and work for the state and come back around. And they're the same faces that tend to be there or same families that tend to be there. And I've said that whoever this county manager would be, that I hope we would recruit from outside the region. Because as we were talking last night, this person, and probably the same way for the city, would come to the job without the baggage of regionalism that we have going on here and would basically be able to call the balls and the strikes without understanding that, oh, I can't be mad at this person because they have a legacy in this politics or that politics.
Yeah.
And so that's what we need in both the city and the county is we need somebody that can call the balls and strikes and do it honestly and bipartisanly and to a point that is they're an expert at doing this. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of we may be trying to identify a unicorn out there, but I know there's people out there that have the expertise to run organizations like a county or a city the size of St. Louis County and the city of St. Louis. So to find that person, yes, you'll probably take a nationwide search, and we're gonna probably have to pay them equivalently. So, but I think that's something that we need in both jurisdictions because we're at a point where we are kind of at a 1980s model, and this is 2025.
Yeah.
So we need something to refresh the way we govern ourselves and how we're going to govern in the future.
We're talking to Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez and Councilman Mark Harder from the county about appointing city managers and county managers to be between the elected executive or mayor and the council or the board of aldermen. So just I'm interested. So we here in St. Louis are deeply involved with the city and with the county. And let's face it, you kind of only hear the bad news, right? I mean, I only hear about you guys when someone does something and shows their ass. If you brought in the person from the outside who's very well qualified, very good, they're just nails. Do you think when they got a look at either the city or the county, they'd be like, holy hell, this thing's a mess? Or do you think maybe we exaggerate how bad things are and they'd be like, okay, this is pretty typical of across the country?
I would say we're probably pretty typical. When you deal with the infrastructure that we have and the personalities we have and the financial stability or instability that we have in this region, I think they would see the commonalities with other parts of this country. And hopefully we would find somebody that would see this as a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And because if they do come in, they're a hero. If they can correct the problems that we have in both the county and the city, they will, within, 5 years look like a hero. And, that benefits all of us.
Would it be easier, do you think, for a city manager to work with a county manager more than a mayor to work with a chief executive?
I don't know about that, but I think that if you had a county manager and a city manager, and what you see now is, I had a teletown hall a couple weeks ago and we had the city manager of Clayton on. And one of the things that he said, David Gibson, is that with the munis, because I think it's already 51% of the region already lives in a place where there's this governance structure. And he would say they work together already, right? There's a shared language. They actually do cost sharing between some of the smaller munis. They even share liability insurance in some places. So not only do you have like shared actual like things, but there's a shared work style. So I think one, there would be more commonalities because you'd have the two biggest governments, working in parallel in the same manner. I think at least, my opinion in at this moment with our current county executive, the current county executive and our current mayor, they've worked together. They continue to work together, which I think is good. And I think, one of the things that the councilman and I were talking last night about is, really what this region needs to focus on is getting back to the basics. Like we have us elected. There's a lot of stuff for us to work on, right? We've got some of these bigger things that we need to think about. How do we grow population? How do we create an ecosystem where people economically thrive and that really can better exist when not only are we not handling complaints about the trash not getting picked up, but also people feel good about their city services or their county services. They're not feeling like they need to move because they're upset with how things are going, right? So if we can bring, and, the city manager from Clayton also said this, stability brings the ability to thrive. So having operations work in a way both in the city and in the county that people feel like it's stable and they're getting what they're paying for sets the stage for our region to thrive in a different way.
Yeah. Back to kind of my previous point about perception being reality, especially from the media, that things feel like a mess, right? They just do. They kind of feel like a mess. To what extent, for you guys, do you look at the playing field and say, we know what to do? It's just kind of a matter of how we do it. Or to what extent do you look at it and go, we're kind of stumped? Kind of stumped on how we do this or this or this. I'm always curious about that because like in my business, we know what to do. Sometimes it's just hard to do it. But with you guys, it could just be like, boy, this is a case of first impression. We're not sure how to solve this problem.
Well, I go back to a quote we talked about it last night is a quote from Tip O'Neill that always said that all politics is local. And if the average citizen, their connection with their local government is usually over trash, potholes, calling the police and they don't come. Those kind of basic government functions, paying their taxes on time and things like that, and getting a call back from their elected officials, real basic stuff. And I don't think in many cases we don't do the basics real well. Recently, as we've seen both in the city and the county. And so I think we need to focus on that. And that's where a job of a manager would focus on those not sexy things that government does. We tend to focus on bigger issues sometimes, and we neglect the basics. And that's where a lot of elections get turned over, because of basics. Many mayors and alder people and council people lost their jobs over basics not being done well. And so I think as a city and a county, I think we need to focus on those basics. And when we get the basics right, then let's talk further up the pyramid of needs.
Yeah.
When we get that done. But right now we've got to focus on, in the case of the county, we got a $40 million budget deficit. We got to find ways of balancing that. We've got to get services done. We got to hire people. We're having a hard time hiring people for the skills we need. And so if we don't get the right people, then the bureaucracy blames, well, we don't have the people to do that job. And so that's when you have problems with different departments.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that we run into on a daily basis. And having a manager that can give us guidance, both as policymakers when you're on a board or as a chief executive of an organization, that professional in that position hopefully will give us the guidance to say, hey, I know this is a hard decision, but this is what you need to do based on my experience going forward.
We are talking to Alderwoman Velazquez from the city and Councilman Harder from the county. Going to take a quick break. If you'd like to ask them a question or make your opinion known, just shoot me a message on Facebook, streaming, or YouTube. Quick break. Right back, DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Our buddy, Alderwoman Daniela Velazquez is here, and County Councilman Mark Harder are here. They've just recently developed a relationship through the show, I'm proud to say, because Daniela was very interested in talking to Mark about her idea about a city manager. Mark is interested about the concept of a county manager under the county executive. So I was asking you guys, what should we talk about next? And Mark, you brought up, which is an obvious question, but a great one, how did we get here? Why is this necessary? What has happened over the last few years to lead both of you to pretty much the same conclusion?
Well, basically, from my standpoint, it came to me pretty obvious in the last couple budget seasons, as we call it, where we have to talk with all the department heads about their budget. And I was amazed. These are people that are, you know, making, you know, six figures. And coming to us with their budget saying, you know, this is what we did. This is what we want to do. This is how much money we need to do that. And, you know, please, please, please. And so every time I came to them, or every time they came to us, and I said, you know, you realize we have a $40 million budget deficit. And so how do you're the professionals doing this every day. We're just glorified volunteers. How do you figure out how we can get out, pull out of this hole? And almost to the same exact leaders in these departments, they all go, I don't know, but this is our budget, you know. And I was very disappointed that there was no exchange of ideas or thinking out of the box, or, hey, we could go and we could cut this or make this more efficient, or maybe combine these properties together. Anything that would help our budgetary and our fiscal condition would help in ideas. We got zero ideas. And what we found out later is that the county executive under our system, we've always known this, but the county executive hires all these department heads, okay? And if he says, don't tell them anything that I don't want you to know, or I don't want you to tell, they don't tell. Sometimes they don't even come to our meetings. We'll ask to have a meeting about just pick a topic. I won't call anybody out, but pick a topic. And it will call them and say, we're having this meeting of the council. We want to know about this topic. And the leaders in these departments don't show up, or they'll send a third underling who doesn't know but is there, you know, on paper to say they had somebody. And that's very frustrating, because we have to make these million-dollar decisions as a policymakers of a council and a board of aldermen. And if you don't show up to either support or counter your position, we don't know. And so then we've got to make a guess on how this money should be spent or what we need to do. And we've gotten to the point where we just hold the bill or hold the item and wait until somebody in the Page administration says, I guess we need to send somebody and, you know, support our case. So it's the frustration is there. And that's why I thought this would be a great opportunity for a county manager, because if that county manager would be called on the carpet among us, they would show up. I'm sure they would. And they would have answers and ideas on how to dig out of a situation. So that's my frustration, and that's where I thought this would be a great time to introduce this idea.
Yeah. Daniela?
Well, a little bit different, but I obviously we reached the same conclusion. So we had a charter commission last summer, and I was tasked with, or I was asked to carry a couple bills. So I'm looking at the charter commission recommendations. I'm looking at, all these pieces from the charter, and then I'm like, why don't, and I talked to colleagues in different cities, council people, aldermen, but I know a lot of council people in other places. And a lot of these places like Kansas City, Dallas, places that are thriving, they had city managers. And looking at just kind of how we do things, I mean, some of the way that we do things at the city, like, for example, the people just passed they wanted a Department of Transportation that passed wildly. It was like passed by 80% this in November at the budget, right, at the ballot. And that just says, hey, we want change. But some of these changes are really hard to do with the system that we have. So, for example, kind of the way we do our streets evaluation and paving is unlike any other city. I don't want to say in the nation because I don't have a quote on that, but like most cities, right? We do it completely the opposite. And that's not because of malice or anything. That's just the system that we're in. And so, for me to do my job, I can only do as good of a job as the system that we're in. And I believe that the people, the city working in it and all the departments can only do as good of a job as the system that they're in, right? And so if we're working in the system that is, we all, back to your earlier question, is it sometimes harder, is the answer apparent or is it, and it's almost like I think about diet and exercise. Most of the time people know the right things to do. It's just hard to do it. Right. And I think this is one of those things. I mean, it's not, this change has come before the city. It came in 2004. It was a ballot measure. And it's not a new idea. It's not a progressive idea. It's a data backed idea. But it's obvious that for the things that we need to do to thrive at the city, we need to raise wages. We need to hire more people, which probably means we need to cut the number of positions we have. We need to rework some of the things. We have to have a new solution.
Yeah. Alderwoman Velasquez and Councilman Harder, thank you very much. Glad to have been a part of this, getting this conversation started. The door is open anytime you guys want to come back. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. Like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 236. I just broke the rule, never run to a microphone.
Yeah.
I was getting our guests some DGS swag, some t-shirts and hats, and we needed different sizes. So I'm like, I knew we were back, but I was running back and forth to get them the right sizes.
You need to just keep some of that stuff in here.
Yeah,
so
we do.
People.
We do. And then there were two. It's just us.
Yep.
The way it was meant to be. Finally got rid of all that excess weight.
Yes, we don't want any help around
no,
here.
No, we don't need Wheeler or Andrew. James says, Happy St. Patrick's Day from Dungarvan, Ireland.
Nice. Happy
That's
St.
pretty
Patrick's
cool.
Day.
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody.
The entire show failed at wearing green today.
Yeah, I'm not big on stuff like that.
We're all getting pinched.
Yeah. It was foot stomping when I was a kid.
Oh, they stomped on your toes?
Yes. And it was important to me to wear green back then, which now it's not. But for some reason, like if I didn't, they would pin a little construction paper green shamrock on you, which was just like the Scarlet Letter. It just said like, oh yeah, I didn't wear green stomp on my foot.
I was always like, my eyes are green. Like
good
that's,
one.
That's the loophole.
Yeah,
I'm
good
always
one.
Covered on St. Patrick's Day.
I'm not sure what my eyes are. They're weird. They change.
They look blue from here.
Yeah, they can look really blue. They can look really green. Mm. So
nice.
My mom's eyes were very brown, and my dad's eyes were ice blue. Wish I would have got his eyes. He had like Paul Newman eyes, like just almost glass clear blue. Mm. Really pretty. I kind of got in the middle. What's Andrew doing?
I don't know. He must. The parking ticket validator
right.
is probably broken again.
Right. So Wheeler will be back tomorrow. 1 week from today is when we have our big change. And I just can't. I mean, I know you guys care about the show and you're invested in the show, which we really appreciate. But you kind of don't care how we make the sausage. But it's just kind of crazy here. Right. Because we're going to have some lineup changes, you know, some people moving here and moving there, which I think Amy and Chris will announce tomorrow on their show. Chris should be back. He's been under the weather. Amy was skiing last week. She's back now. She did the 1 o'clock with us. And then 1 week from today, I believe at midnight, very dramatic, they throw a switch and KMOX stays on 1120 AM, always will, but it goes to 104.1 FM. I think that's going to be 95% the way people consume us. On the terrestrial radio. People who are watching us right now on Facebook or YouTube, people who use the Odyssey app or use 102.5 HD2, you can still do that. But I think most people are going to consume KMOX, Amy and Chris, DGS, Cardinal Baseball, of course, on the 104.1 FM, and it's going to sound great. And
yes.
I've not heard baseball on FM, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool, you know. I love being on KMOX, but whenever we moved over here, we did have quite a few listeners complaining that it just didn't sound the same as when we were on FM. So now to be able to get that product back at the place that we want it to be, and the fact that Cardinals baseball is also going to be on that signal, it's incredibly, incredibly exciting.
Yeah. Talk to me about Democrats.
Oh, okay. So there's a recent CNN poll. Let me see if I can get it pulled up here. Yeah,
I got it in my head. It's brutal.
Yeah, they're actually calling it the brutal reality of the Democrats' disapproval ratings. Only 29% of those polled viewed Democrats in a favorable light. This is the lowest point since CNN began tracking this metric about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So in the past 30 years, we've never seen disapproval rates or favorable rates this high or this low. Sorry, I keep saying everything wrong. 54% of those surveyed tell CNN they viewed the Democratic Party unfavorably, which is a kind of a staggering number. Now, the Republicans aren't doing great either. They're at 36% favorable and 48% unfavorably, but this is really bad for the Democrats. I mean, they don't have a clear leader of their party. They're squabbling right now because the government's going to be staying open and half the people thought we should have been shutting it down. It just feels like the party is in absolute chaos right now.
Yeah, it reminds me, you're too young to remember this, but when I was your age and Mike Tyson was fighting and he would come out in the first round and he would attack his opponent and just shock and awe, and they didn't know what the hell hit him, literally. That, to me, is what has happened to the Democrats with the last election and even more so the last few weeks with Donald Trump taking over and doing all the things he's been doing with Doge and tariffs and whatnot. They just seem completely shell-shocked. And we all know how that feels on a much smaller basis in our own life, personally and professionally. We've all been there, right? We've all had things hit us on a Tuesday from out of left field. We don't know what's going on and the world is spinning. We hear sirens in our head and everything's in slow motion. I think that's how the Democrats are now. I think, and to me, this is just kind of duh, that, you know, the classic bell curve, and like everything's on a bell curve. You can always put, you know, map out everything on a bell curve. And it seems to me that the middle, the big middle of the bell curve, are normal people who want normal government, and they don't really care that much about government. They don't get that into the highfalutin politics. They just want to have a good job, come home, be with their family, not have to send anyone off to war. Pretty simple stuff. And the left, I think, has effed around and found out, you know, doing the whole woke thing. Well, that went about as bad as anything ever has politically. They're down to 28-27%, depending on CNN or NBC polls. And then on the right, I don't even think you can judge the right anymore, because what's going on now has really very little similarities to what the Republican Party was as I grew up with the Republican Party and voted for them the last 20 years. I also have to say this. These are the things I try not to say, because we try to stay away from I hate Trump politics for obvious reasons. Had to get a drink. But he's saying really stupid, embarrassing things, you know, like Isaac Neutron. Talking about that if someone is in hospice and the daylight savings time changes and it goes forward an hour, they die an hour faster. Just, there was a whole litany of stuff I was going to send you to get the sound of over the weekend. Mm-hmm. How there's like, someone just drew a border between Canada and the United States. It's not even there. Like, I just want to get back to boring. I want to get back to having a little bit of class. I want to get back to it not feeling like you're in the back of someone's car who's driving 80 miles an hour around town drunk. It just, I've said it so many times. I know you guys are sick of hearing this, but trust me, life wasn't like this. Politics wasn't like this. Life wasn't like this. My first 50 years, I lived a very different life than I have the past 10.
Well, the past 10, we've had the internet, and I said in the first hour about AI, the genie is never going back in the bottle. I understand how you feel, but it's kind of like, it's like if you're waiting for things to become boring again, that's not going to happen. In the 90s and the 80s, you could go your whole day with only ever hearing the opinions of your close friends and family, and then the New York Times, if you subscribe to that newspaper, and if you turned on the evening news, that's what you heard. Well, now everyone has a megaphone to say how they feel. And me personally, I'm not going to spend any more time fighting against the inevitable. I don't necessarily want people to stop saying how they feel and stop posting and stuff, because that's, I mean, it's just a sea change that's, it's not going to go back. People aren't going to go like, you know what? Actually, I don't want my voice to be heard anymore.
I'm not even talking about that so much. I'm talking more about the politicians we're getting.
Right. Yeah, but they're a result of this culture we live in. The internet is just real life now. There's not a divide anymore. When Trump became president the first time, he broke down that barrier and everyone's like, oh, this is actually what I want. And I think it's what more people want than we give credit for. He won twice. He won, then he lost, then he won again. Like, I just feel like this is just the way things are now. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's inevitable.
It sucks. It is so much worse. It just is. It's so much worse. And if you think it's not, it's just because you're too young. You don't know what it's like to not live in this chaotic barrel of monkeys, you know. Welcome back, 251, DGS on KMOX. Wheeler is in Chicago. He will be back on tomorrow. We have a Cardinals spring training game on KMOX at noon on Wednesday and again on Friday. So we will probably go on about 3 p.m. or 3:30 p.m. Phoebe is in town for spring break, so I think I'm going to take the hour and a half off on Friday and just spend it with her. Yeah, I mean, she hasn't said yes. So, you know, that's always, you never know, but I'll take my shot. So you had an interesting weekend, it looks like.
Oh, I did all kinds of stuff this weekend. I was all over the place.
I want to hear about you falling.
Oh, man. Okay, so my living room is split 80 and 20. And on 80% of the room is just where I would normally go. But then there's a 20 that's kind of off in the corner, and that's separated by the hammock, right? The Grand Canyon hammock.
We all have that.
So I needed to look for something that was on a bookshelf on the other side of the hammock. So I get over the hammock with great difficulty because the thing is enormous and massive and kind of hard to step over. So I get across it, don't find what I'm looking for. I'm like, all right, now I'm going to make it across. And I got a little too confident. I was like, I'm just going to swing up and over and it's going to be like nothing and I'll be fine. And I did that. And of course, I completely tripped and fell, just crashing to the earth. And it was, my wife said it was the loudest sound she'd ever heard in her life, because she was in bed and she'd sprang up to see what was the matter night before Christmas style, because Santa had just come down the chimney. And she found me lying on the floor going,
did it take like 5 minutes to fall?
No. I went straight down. I mean, I hit that hammock and I just went, bam!
I still don't understand. I'm sorry, how did you fall? You said you were trying to swing over it?
My foot got caught on the hammock.
Okay.
As I was trying to bring my foot up and over it,
okay,
my foot
okay,
got
okay.
caught on the edge of the hammock.
Seems that hammock's been nothing but trouble.
The hammock is nothing but trouble, and now it's trying to kill me. And I'm still
what
sore.
What if it was just gone when Megan came home?
That is kind of what I said. I was kind of like, one day, this hammock will be laying in a burned pile in the street is what will happen to this hammock.
No good deed goes unpunished.
I know. And I'm still sore from it, cause I'm, you know, in my mid 30s now. So everything just hurts forever. My wrist is all sore and my arm, and I hit simultaneously in like 7 different places somehow.
And you accidentally bought $35 worth of hard candy?
Soft candy, gummies.
Oh.
Delicious gummy sour candies. So I went to the district in Chesterfield to meet some friends on Saturday night. Had a great time. It's a lovely place. We had a High Point and Four Hands and all that.
Well, you live your life.
But right next to, yeah, I like to do stuff.
You're
I like
out
to
there.
Go out, be social. And right next to there, there's a candy place that just opened. It's called It's Sugar, and it's like a candy chain place. And I went in there, and I'm perusing their offerings, and I see that they have sour gummies in buckets, and my wife loves sour gummies, and I'm not averse to them either, let's be honest. So I was like, ooh, this will be a lovely treat. And I see that they have these bags, and it's $7.50 for a bag, and you fill up the Ziploc baggie, and I'm like, this what a great deal. What an absolute steal. Penny candy at its finest. So I fill this bag up with like 3 pounds worth of candy, and I bring it up to the front, and the guy is, I didn't read the whole sign. The whole sign said $7.50 per half pound of candy. So I drop it on there and I'm like, here's your $7.50, my good sir. He's like, that'll be $35. And I said, shut the F up.
Oh my gosh.
Reflexively, because I was so shocked. I was so sticker shocked.
How'd
by
that
my,
go over?
He was not, for being a guy who worked at a freaking candy store, he was not amused. He was not very playful. He just kind of glared at me until I was like, all right, fine. Here's your money.
I don't know if I would have reacted like, like if someone told me to shut the F up either, you know, like.
I was shocked.
To
and
come
also,
to his defense for a second.
I was shocked, but also humiliated to be buying $35 worth of gummy candy, which I didn't even really want. And she didn't want it. I was buying it as a surprise for her. She ate one little mango gummy strip thing and then was like, all right, I've pretty much had my fill for the year. So now I'm working my way through these 2 pounds of gummy candy.
Laying in the hammock.
Laying in the hammock. Nursing my bruised entire right side.
Your life's right where you want it.
Just where I need to be.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's Almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.